The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. Do not be afraid, little flock, Jesus says to us today. There have been times when that seemed a fairly simple task, and there have been other times when that seemed an insurmountable obstacle. And in the wake of so much sadness and violence in our world, it seems harder and harder these days not to be a little bit afraid. And beyond that, we begin to maybe have fear dominate our thoughts and our minds. And perhaps fear even begins to creep in and to control our hearts a little bit. And yet Jesus is here saying to us today, don't be afraid. But it seems more and more, all that we hear on the news is one more heartbreaking story of terrorism or of gun violence or of injustice. We have refugees fleeing wars that have destroyed their homes, their schools, their families. And we have host countries too fearful of what a few have done to welcome and provide a safe space for these refugees. And in such times, it's easy for the news cycle to start to dominate us, to control the direction of our thoughts, to skew our perspective so that we begin to dwell only on the negative, only on the bad news, and we start to miss the inspiring stories that surround us. And I don't know about you, but this is one of the reasons I'm especially thankful for the Olympics this year, right? Some say that the goal of the Olympics has not been met, right? I've heard commentators this week waxing and waning on the Olympics, speaking of how they have not brought more peace to our world. They have not brought nations together the way that we had first hoped. And while that seems to be mostly accurate, I still wonder, is that cynical assessment just one more revelation that we are only looking at the negative? Looking at the ways that they don't bring us together rather than the ways that they do. Because when I look at some Olympic stories, I can only see the positive. I can only see what's been overcome, what's been achieved, and what's been gifted in that process. And one such story comes from the first ever refugee Olympic team. A group of 10 athletes from different countries competing under the banner Refugees. And 3 men and 2 women on this team come from the same refugee camp, Kakuma, where they fled as a result of a bloody civil war in southern Sudan. And in Kakuma, rows and rows of small makeshift houses with mud walls spread out as far as the eye can see. It It's estimated that between 185,000 and 192,000 refugees live there. They opened this camp in Kenya in 1991. Dust storms frequently pass through it, as well as malnutrition, communicable disease outbreaks, and malaria. And sadly, donor support has faltered due to all of the other conflicts that are now going on around our world. And even sadder still, in May of this year, Kenya announced that they will be closing the camp permanently and no longer hosting the refugees. And I wonder where they will go. But in the midst of all of this, there's this young man whose name I will probably horribly pronounce, Yeek Per-Beal. And he is a member of this Olympic refugee team. He is from Kakuma, and he will run the 800-meter race at the Games. And I plan to tune in just to watch his heat, even if he doesn't make it beyond that. His is certainly an inspiring story. At just 10 years old, he fled with his family into the wilderness with his mother and his younger siblings. And they survived on wild fruit and eating leaves off of trees to make it through. And he says, sometimes there is insecurity. There's no food, there's no shelter. And these things are common in life as a refugee. Beal was separated from his family because he had the opportunity to go to Kakuma in Kenya, and they had to go to Ethiopia. And in all of these trials, he has not let his past or his history or these bad things control how he will view his future potential. And so, because he hasn't, he fought hard to make this refugee team, and he moved to Nairobi to compete then for the Olympics. And now he sees himself as a refugee ambassador, hoping that his story will inspire others to see refugees in a different light. And he says this profound, profound statement I want to share with you today. He says, I have a mission to tell the world we refugees are human beings, like other people. And if you give us a chance to participate in anything, we can prove that to be called a refugee is only a name. And this is just one story, right? There are so many inspiring stories of Olympians. A friend of mine posted the video this week of the Olympian Derek Redmond. Who remembers that from back in 1992? He started his race with medal hopes, and then he tore his hamstring in the middle of the race. And somehow, against impossible odds, he still finished. Very few people could have finished that race after a complete tear in their hamstring, and yet he did. He was not going to give up. Remarkable. Olympians truly are remarkable human beings for their dedication and their achievement. But they don't get there overnight, do they? It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of humility and hard work. It takes a lot of facing defeat. It takes a lot of building oneself up after you've faced that defeat. And it takes a lot of checking off the small, kind of boring tasks off the list of training in order to become a great athlete. And I, for one, am glad that these Olympians, these special human beings, have taken over the news cycle, because they are reminding us of who we really are, too. We don't hear enough of these stories these days. Frederick Buechner famously wrote, and I used his line for my prayer of the day, he said that the lostness and the madness of this world are not the last truth, but that they are merely the second to last truth. And why I'm excited about this is because the Olympics are not the only place where these stories of greatness are happening. They're simply reminding us of who we truly are. And Olympians aren't the only ones who hold out hope in the face of opposition. In fact, Jesus tells us today, that's our job, too. We are not to let fear paralyze us or dominate us. We are to get ready, to do the small things with great faith to prepare. We are not to give up. We are to believe with unfailing faith that love will conquer hate in the end. And we are to do the small things in the meantime to get us one step closer to that. We are the ones in training to hold out hope in the face of fear, love in the face of hate, and generosity in the face of scarcity. That is what we are training for. And in our reading from Hebrews, we learn that we are heirs of this beautiful promise, right? The promise that Abraham and Sarah had so much faith in. By faith, Abraham and Sarah obeyed. And you see what it says in our passage? It says that they set out not knowing where they were going. And we too sometimes fail to see the road ahead. And yet that faith that Abraham and Sarah had and the promise that they passed down to us beckon us onward. For we are not only heirs of this incredible promise, even more importantly than being heirs of this promise, we are this promise's stewards, right? It is up to us to bravely hold up the torch of faith, hope, and love in the face of all that frightens us. Our belief in these values has been handed down in every generation, and it's up to us to pass it on, even in these turbulent times. Because the hatred and violence of today are not the final word. And this morning, I would like to testify that in some ways, the hatred and violence and fear depicted on the news outlets and social media feeds are not even really a true word at the end of the day, because they're only telling a small part of the story, right? And there is much, much more that could be told. Jesus gives us the way to combat this today, how to defeat this lie about who we are. We aren't to worry about it, he says. We aren't to be afraid. We're just supposed to busy ourselves with doing kingdom work. And this means that we need to believe against all odds and act against all odds, knowing that our role, however small, is part of making the good in this world happen. And lately, I have seen many such stories, which to me are just as inspiring as our Olympian stories, and they deserve more media attention, right? I mean, what would our world look like if on our new nightly news we heard a report on the Noah's Ark VBS from this week? Because I tell you, it was wonderful seeing these children grow in love and faith and coming to church so joyfully this week, and their teachers enjoying teaching them and their teachers learning things from them as well. We should have a news story on that, don't you think? That would be a good one to hold up. And I want a news story done on a faithful member of our church who volunteers regularly at one of our local food bank ministries with humility and faithfulness, never asking for attention, never looking for glory. I want a news story done on that, right? Because that's happening in our midst too. And I want a story done on our Haven for Hope family. Because this year, Brenda has experienced so much success and so much that we could celebrate with her and her four children. And that is part of our partnership with them. I mean, Brenda made it happen, but we get to be part of it too, in that we supported her and saw her through to some of these dreams and goals. And we're going to keep supporting her. But how cool would it be to have a news story like that? We could come up with hashtags for each of these, and they would fill our social media feeds, so we didn't always just see the negativity that's going on in this world, but instead, we saw all the beautiful, wonderful, positive things people are doing. Because the truth is, most of us are full of love, and we want good things for each other and for our world. So I'm here to say to you all this morning, you're in a long line of witnesses to that faith and that hope. Because we, like Abraham and Sarah, must believe against all appearances to the contrary that something good is yet coming, and in many ways this something good has already arrived. This is what we have been training for. If we don't have hope, who will? If we don't continue to move towards selflessness, who will? If we don't make each and every small value a crucial part of our lives, who will? If we don't overcome our fear, who will? Amen.